This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The Answer San Diego presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. It's good seeing the garden guys as they roll on out of here. Hopefully, you all got some good information on your gardens and plants and everything else. I do know that I buy all my plants from them. So, I have an amazing Ming tree in my house that I bought from them. It's this humongous tree. Why are you looking at me funny? I'm being serious, man. It's a Ming tree.
Okay.
I do. It's amazing. They have the most amazing plants, man. I like to go down there and just check it out. Plants are good. They make your life harmony.
Yes.
You know, plants.
So you'd have time to water them, though.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think if I was single, I'd have a bunch of plastic plants.
Well, the Ming plant only needs to be watered like once every 2 weeks. I mean, it doesn't need much water. I figured that out from them because I was like, am I overwatering this thing? So.
Right, right.
So anyway, they said, yeah, about once every 2 weeks and just check the root ball and see if it's moist enough. So seems to be doing fine now. Seems to be a happy plant.
Right, right.
I leave it alone. It leaves me alone. We're all good
then
to go.
You're all good.
Yeah, we're all good. So anyway. All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. We appreciate you joining us. You can give us a call here with anything automotive related at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170 here on KCBQ, The Answer San Diego, as you're listening to Auto Talk Radio. This morning, we're discussing what the term tune-up means these days and what it relates to on newer vehicles, because it's definitely not the same as when your father or grandfather tuned up their vehicle every 30,000 miles in the driveway.
Well, especially being the newer cars coming out are all electric. Well, how much tune-up do you really need?
They'll need to be tuned up, trust me.
So,
well, most cars, we don't have a majority of electric cars on the road.
The weird thing is they're trying to push them. And the reason I'm going to bring this up is because I was reading up on the tune-ups and how they relate to newer cars and stuff. Because Ford is bringing out their pickup truck that's all electric.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get a gist on this because the funny thing is when I was reading up on it, the pictures in the bed, they have a 220 plug in.
Mm-hmm.
And that what they show it is the guy using it for work. And so he's got four regular extension cords coming off, and then he's got a 220 plugged into it. And I'm looking at that going, so by the end of the work day, you won't be able to drive home because you spent all your electricity up.
Well, had a 220 plugged into it, charging it up?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm positive. But they were using it for a work vehicle.
Oh.
And they were out on site, and they were using the battery.
All kinds of different things.
The power of their circular saws and all that stuff. But I was thinking by the end of the day, they just done spend all their battery up. Hopefully there's a warning system on it, so you won't do that. But they also said that the car comes with solar panels on top. But it only gives you like 15 miles of charge on the solar very much. I mean, most people have got to drive 30 plus miles home and to work, right? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that works because even, you know, they compared it to Tesla's new truck that's coming out.
Well, what about if there was a 220 plug and you could just plug the car in while you were using it on the work site?
Yeah, but why do that? You can just plug it into the other outlet then.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, I have no idea. They don't give you all the answers. They just kind of touch on everything, and I'm like,
I got to break all the specs out when it actually is getting ready to be produced.
I don't really like reading it when it's getting ready to come out, because every time I read a sentence, I'm like, whoa, I want more information. And that they only touch on things and give you just little bits all the way through it.
They obviously haven't. When are they saying they're going to bring this truck out?
Same time as Tesla. So I think it was the end of this year or by 21.
Well, there'll definitely be all the specifications for it out before they bring it out.
I was trying to take in all the other stuff. I did read when it was coming out. I'm pretty sure it's coming out when Tesla.
Tesla's building a truck too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I think I want to say that they're they basically came, even Tesla's coming out with three models. So you have 39, 49, and $60,000 trucks is what you're going to have. And they all have different options, obviously.
Okay.
So.
Makes sense.
Electric cars, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have, this is another thing. What maintenance are electric? I mean, everything has maintenance. Even, no different than an AC unit or something that's all electric. Everything, you know, it has to be oiled here or there. Everything has some kind of maintenance to it. So it is going to have maintenance on this truck. The question is what kind of maintenance are we going to have?
Correct. Correct. Well, there's still brakes. There's still all these different items.
Well, and you still have to oil the bearing, you know, like slightly, you know what I'm saying? Like even electric motors, most of them that are like that have like a little, you have to lube something or whatever, you know what I mean? There's something going on.
There's always maintenance. So there, when you're talking about tune-up though, you are correct about one thing.
We won't have to replace spark plugs anymore. That's all I'm saying.
No, there won't be any spark plugs on those. That's for sure.
But I'm sure there's going to be, I mean, because like the batteries are going to need maintenance. Obviously you have everything else in the truck. I thought they said there was two motors that drive it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But the problem is they don't give you enough information to actually be able to get, you know, they just touch on everything. So.
Well, sometimes they don't. Well, they will have all the they will have all the specifications out before the vehicle is being actually sold, because nobody buys a vehicle without all the specifications out. So you will know, you know. So just like, so a prime example, I did a motorcycle ride up in Washington State with a friend, with a bunch of friends. We did an enduro ride.
Uh-huh.
And these guys out of Reno, I think they're out of Reno. Yeah, Reno. Decided my one friend and his friend that owned this Tesla X, they were going to drive the Tesla X with the motorcycle trailer on the back up to Washington State from Reno, right?
Right.
So my good friend John, who rode with him, says to me, "Never again." And I said, "Why? What happened?" And he said, "Well, the concern here was that every time we stopped," he says, "you know, we put our motorcycles in the back of our trucks and we head out. And, you know, I stop and get gas and I might grab a sandwich and I eat it on the way and I keep going, or a cup of coffee or whatever." He says, "every time we had to stop for what you would call gas, which was to charge the car up, was dinner, because it was an hour long and we let the car charge for an hour." And he said, "that was a lot of stopping, you know, along the way." He said, "so every time." So versus where you just pull into a gas station, fill your truck up, and you're down the road, you know, with whatever.
Well, that was another thing, your options. It's kind of like when you go...
So in town, they're amazing cars. That's my theory. You know, like if you're driving to work and you can plug in there, or you're driving if, you know, you go down shopping, there's plug-ins for them, but...
That's the thing, too, with the options. The options are, when, you know, as your car gets more expensive, obviously, batteries get better. So they say... The different packages on those are how far can you drive the car?
Yeah,
so
but that Tesla X, dude, that's a $90,000 car.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying even on the Tesla pickup, they're saying, and I'm sure the Teslas, I've never looked into buying a Tesla, but I'm sure their options are the same. Every car probably has different batteries in them.
I think smaller batteries, because you got the lower end Teslas. Well,
but what they're saying is the same pickup truck though can have different options how far the car can go. Okay. So you have 200 mile range, 400 mile range, and 600 mile range batteries. So, and I'm not saying
I doubt the X has different range values. If you buy an X,
I don't know. Like I just told you, I never looked in, because I'm not going to buy a Tesla. I really don't want an electric car, me personally.
But I bet you that when the Ford F-150 electric comes out, there won't be different range options on it. There's going to be one setup for a battery on that thing. There's not going to be different range options on an F-150.
No, there is. Yes. Just like every Ford F-150, you have the XL package. You have different packages.
Oh,
different
motor sizes. So they will have it. So in other words, you know, depending on what you want to buy.
That's my point. How much money do you want to spend? This is the only reason.
And I wonder how they're going to guarantee that. The range thing. Like this vehicle will get so many miles, you know.
I don't know. Well, it all depends how you know, everything, just like even the gasoline engines, it's all done in the wind tunnel. So it's everybody's driving habits and where you put your foot on the pedal is totally different. So exactly. You ever noticed, and depending.
Well, it's really easy when driving an electric car to want to stomp on that thing, because boy, do they go.
Yes. And me personally, I like to go to the desert and, you know, go riding. The electric car wouldn't work for me because how am I going to charge my car up when I get out there?
You don't may not need to. Depends on how far you go. I mean, if you out to the desert is 65 miles and back is 65 miles and you have a 300 mile range and you plug it in at night and you leave before you leave, then you're fine.
Yeah, but I'm going to go.
Are you concerned you might get stuck in the desert?
I'm having more time in my life. I'm going to want to go farther. I just never had time to go farther. So
that's what I'm saying. Typically, those cars for long travel wasn't what they were designed for. They work amazing.
And that's why I don't want one. And me personally.
And well,
I'm not saying, you know what? If you were in town driving, I think they're a perfect car. I'm not saying nothing bad about them.
No, I didn't say you were. My point that I'm making, though, is this, is that you're right. The exact same thing. They work for a lot of people as far as commuter cars. They're great commuter cars.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, and I was talking to a guy once that's a doctor that said, hey, I love the Tesla. And the reason why he was on call to like the emergency room, and he's like, I go home, I plug the car in. He's all, and you know what? I know if I get a call in the middle of the night, I have to go to the emergency room or whatever. I'm on call. There's no having to worry about stopping, get gas or whatever. I just pull the plug out of the car. I go and it's good. You know, and I said, that's a great point. That really is, you know, for things like that. So good stuff. For a lot of different options, they work well and they will. But as you said, there's still going to be maintenance. There's still going to be things that need to be taken care of and maintained on them, and it's gonna have to be handled, you know. And everywhere from, you know, things fail on them. There's a lot of electronics that fail too on them. So the whole car is electronic whenever it's.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of modules and things like that, things that we already replace on gas cars today that handle all kinds of other things. So just important stuff there that will go along, and brakes. And although because of it being an electric motor, obviously you can have reduced braking, things like that. But at the same time, all these items do wear. Batteries will eventually go out and fail on those, just like they do on hybrid vehicles, right?
Yes, just like they do on your electric drill.
Same thing. Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, though, if you drove that car every day, this is my thing, because especially people that use, their electric impacts or their electric drills or whatever every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to assume that, because the batteries can only be charged and recharged so many times. So correct. I'm assuming when you're driving this car every single day that you're going to go through the battery packs a little more.
Well, they last a long time. I actually, you know what? I need to, I've known several people that own Teslas. I've never known. Now, I do think they put quite a warranty on the battery packs on those cars.
Well, how long are they under? See, I
think it's like 10 years they give.
How long has Tesla been out now?
Oh, a long time. Longer than 10 years.
Well, I'm assuming it's got to get to a point where, I'm assuming their battery packs are no better than anybody else's. I mean, look what the Toyotas and stuff, you know, they're hybrids.
I think there's more engineering in their battery packs than in the hybrid battery packs for like Toyota and them.
Well,
I really
I'm sure
do.
They are. I'm just saying the price of them, though.
Yeah.
And if there's more engineering.
And it's a different type of battery, actually, to be honest with you, versus if I remember right. I'll have to do a little research on that because I don't know for sure. But so interesting. I don't know. And I don't know for sure that that's the warranty for them either. I don't know as far as the batteries. But right. We've replaced a lot of hybrid batteries in our life, right?
Yes.
But have we, haven't talked to anybody that's really had to replace a Tesla battery. I'm sure somebody's out there that has. That's own one that's had an issue with it. It either got replaced under warranty or whatever, I'm sure. So, you know, everything, no matter how good it is, somebody's had a failure somewhere. So one of those things for sure. All right, folks, give us a call. 1-888-344-1170. It's 888-344-1170. We kind of got on the electric car thing here. Because we were discussing how they don't require tune-ups, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is how times are going to change. I mean, they're going to need a tune-up. It's just not going to be the same tune-up. I mean, you're going to have to oil things and stuff.
They're going to need maintenance, yes. Is what you're saying. Yeah. Which every car, no matter what vehicle, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, wagon, needs maintenance.
Yes.
So we had maintenance logs for things in the military, such as tow bars. All it had was two little wheels on it and little clips and stuff.
But you had to lube the axles or
that,
their pins.
And you had to NDI them, make sure they didn't crack. And you had all kinds of things you had to do to them. So there's always maintenance that needs to be done to everything. So no matter what we come up with vehicle-wise, there'll always be maintenance. All right, folks, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break here. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way on The Answer San Diego. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Give us a call here at 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. The Tesla S was first released in 2012, so it's 8 years old. That was their first model.
Okay.
It was. No.
This is something else. I don't know when the S was released, because all companies, they had their first failures here and there before they actually got their good, you know what I mean? I mean, even Ford and all them guys. So I wonder if he made other cars and it didn't work out or how that.
What's not a he?
What do you mean?
Well, Tesla. That's a no.
It's a corporation. But
yes, correct.
I mean, it's headed by doesn't he have most of the stock or something like that?
Yes, and okay. He was part of the engineering. Well, then they made a Model 3, which is a cheaper car, which you may say might be the one with a smaller battery. I don't know.
Well, I'd assume that all the cars have different packages, just like a Ford F-150 where you have the XL, the you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure every car has its different options that you can, you know, this is the thing.
Well, they got this cool little new also Tesla Roadster Sport 2.5, and it looks like a little reminds me of a kind of a what was that car that I had one of? It was car of the year. Remember the little black car that I
rebuilt? Lotus.
Lotus, yeah. It reminds me of the Lotus, the newer Lotus is what it kind of looks like. So, yeah, it's kind of a cool, it's a cool little roadster.
Well, and to be fair, Elon Musk is just the CEO. He was an early investor, so he had nothing really much in terms of founding the company itself, but, you know.
Oh, so he's just kind of like a spokesman.
Who was the founder of the company? Do you know?
I got two names, but hold on 1 second.
All right. I was just curious that he put a lot of money into the company is what he did.
It was Martin Eberhard, Tarpening.
Gotcha. Are they even involved with Tesla anymore?
Sure they are.
Again, silent. I'll check.
A lot of times they're just silent partners.
Or let our fact checker do our...
A lot of these guys are just silent partners because that's not their personality to be out on the...
I don't... My biggest question is I don't know who the engineer behind Tesla was.
I'm sure there was multiple.
There could have been, but usually there's one head engineer that was like, this is my vision.
This is my baby.
This is my vision. Exactly. You know, this is what I want to do. So that was only my only curious thing. So Elon Musk, yes, head of the board. And I probably put a lot of money into the project, I presume, because that's what he does do. He's quite the investor. So, but yeah, interesting car concept that's really kind of done okay. I mean, there's been some other electric cars that didn't do so great. So one of those things.
So Mark is now a part of a robotics company. So they both left in 2008. And then the other gentleman, Martin.
So they left before they even produced a car for sale.
Right, right. They just helped with some motor stuff. But otherwise, Elon was the one who kind of promoted into making their own cars.
Gotcha. Well, cool. Good information to know. So, but yeah, Elon does some, likes to invest in some wild things and make things
SpaceX.
Move along. Yeah, SpaceX and stuff like that. He's got a little bit of money.
The guy from Virgin.
Yeah.
That guy's always here, everywhere too. So
exactly. Anyway, so we're talking today about, I don't know Elon, so I'm not going to talk much about him anymore. So I'm going to move it back to the car thing that we do here, something that I know a lot more about. Tune-ups and how they change. But besides electric cars, even with every other car today, the tune-up is not near the way it was in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s.
No, because, you know, you had to do your points, your condenser, your plugs. And normally back then,
timing.
You and could wires adjust went bad.
Regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at 30,000 miles, you were replacing all kinds of stuff.
Spark plug wires and everything. Now you probably go over 100,000 miles before you replace the spark plug wires, maybe.
If you have spark plug wires, if you have a coil pack, then usually you'll get, you're right, between 80 and 100,000 miles out of them typically.
And back in the day, remember, you used to be able to even go to the auto parts store and buy just one plug wire for your car.
You could.
But that was common practice because they went bad. So
you could even buy a little kit to make the length of wire that you wanted, remember?
Yep. Well, the thing is, though, wires went bad so bad back then that a lot of times, even in between 30,000 amp intervals, you'd burn a plug wire and you just replace that one to get you to your end of your 30,000s, then you'd replace the whole set again.
You could do that, too. Yeah. And then you had to set points and gap and dwell and then reset the timing and then tune the carb afterwards. And there's all these steps we went through to get everything dialed in and make it run like a champ.
Oh, the fuel filter. You know, now most cars don't have an accessible fuel filter. It's in the in the module in the tank,
which is the pump.
Yes.
And all. So yes, you're correct. Usually, yeah.
So now it's like a set of plug wires, air filter.
Plugs. If you're lucky, maybe some coil boots, coil over. They got the little boots that go.
It's always
a
good idea to put
plug.
The boots in there too, because they do dry. They do dry out, and they will leak
if they're replaceable. Some cars you can't buy them without the coil, so we don't replace coils till they fail. Usually, or if you get one or two starting to fail, then we recommend to replace all coils sometimes. But most of them are at the same vintage.
And normally, you know, I noticed most coils go bad because most people haven't replaced the spark plugs. Because as the spark plugs wear, they draw more amps and more amps on the electrical parts, like the coil, which is
they just overwork the coil.
Yes.
Is what they do. So in other words, the coil has to work extremely hard to jump that larger gap.
Yes.
Or you know, across that. So what happens is it stresses the coil over time, and then what you get in one of the windings in the coil, you get a short or an open or a ground or whatever happens inside there. There's multiple different ways it could go, and then that coil fails or starts to fail. It puts out lesser spark. You get a misfire. Then from there is when we pick it up and go. But you're right that. Leaving spark plugs, and we see a lot of vehicles that spark plugs are recommended between 90 and 105,000 miles, and we see them come in at 125,000 with a misfire, and it's got the original spark plugs in it because nobody's ever recommended to them, nor have they considered the driver of the vehicle replacing these spark plugs. So, and they do wear out. They don't last for forever. And man, back in 1970, if you wouldn't get a spark plug, you're lucky if they went 50,000 miles, let alone 120,000 miles. That, so it's quite amazing what plugs do these
I'm
days.
I'm trying to think. An old style spark plug back then, I'm not sure it'd go 50,000.
That's what I'm saying.
That gap would be like huge.
Huge, yeah, exactly. And then you'd burn holes in distributor caps, which we've seen. Would you burn rotor buttons out?
Yeah.
Well, it's making it overwork. It's overstressing it. So all those things come into play. And so if you want to keep your coils on your vehicle alive for a long period of time, typically it's a great idea to replace your spark plugs at recommended intervals.
Do you remember when Chrysler, they made that spark plug wire that it would slide into the cap, and they actually used that as part of the terminal on the rotor? Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. They did that on a lot of four cylinders.
Well, the reason I bring that up is I remember one time I had a car come in, and the car was running kind of rough, and I pulled them things. There was no electricals left on the end of those. They had all burned off.
Ooh.
And I was like, and I remember the service rider. I said, look, we need to fix this before we go on to our next thing. And he's like, are you sure that's going to fix it? I'm like, I didn't say I was going to fix it. But to move on to our next section, we have to get this taken care
of. The car won't run right without this.
Exactly.
So that's one. And that's a thing often with different things. You know, we do see cars come in. A lot of cars are, especially that are kept in good shape and stuff, come in with an issue. And it's a single point issue. You know, maybe a failed coil or something like that. Other times we see cars that come in and been driven 200,000 miles and not maintained properly, and they have multiple issues to them, and it's layered. It's like, well, I want this fixed. Well, you're going to have to get all this stuff fixed up first to get to make sure that that problem can be fixed too.
Exactly.
You know, so you need to keep that in mind on some vehicles. Most vehicles aren't that way, but there are some vehicles out there that just don't, you know, as far as just aren't taken care of properly.
Yes.
So anyway, it's one of those things. So we're going to have to take our next break here real quick. Give us a call at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way on The Answer San Diego. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Hey, I do want to remind you that Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks in North County now for over 28 years. Woo, long time. That's why Kevin's beard's gray. And, yep. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and Smog certified, taking care of folks out there in East County now for over 7 years. And our West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission location, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego. AAA approved and Smog certified, taking care of folks for over 3 years over there. Along with our newest location, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission at 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, right there on the corner in the Golden Triangle. AAA approved and STAR certified for Smog, taking care of folks for over a year now. All of us, the West Automotive Group, my employees, myself, and everybody come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. That is, we truly believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. You stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest on your vehicle service and repair needs. We're here to help folks any way we can as far as during the whole COVID thing. We know some folks have been in and out of work, et cetera, and we got to keep you on the road. So we have a lot of different options to try to help you out there. And once you actually get one of those cards, you can continually use it whenever you need your car vehicle serviced or repaired. And like I said, it gives you 6 months with no interest. So good way to go for sure. Helps you out. You can also take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. If you think you have a transmission problem, you should get into one of our four locations, get your vehicle checked out. You verify what's going on. And we also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home, along with low-cost rental vehicles at any of our four locations. You can hop on westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. From there, you can make appointments, see what we're all about, ask any questions you want, find out information, set up for your vehicle service, etc. That's at westautomotivegroup.com. You can also go from there to the Automan page where I'm the auto man for the CW and Fox 5, and see all of our episodes are there on our auto man page. And also we have an Auto Talk Radio page where we put all of the shows afterwards, all the podcasts that can be downloaded and listened to later, or if you missed one, grab it. You can find all that through westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. So this morning, though, give us a call here, 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Sandy called in from El Cajon. I guess there's a documentary on Harley-Davidson electric motorcycle that they've made. I believe it.
You know what? And if you were cruising around town just for a day rides, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I tell you what, electric cars and motorcycles are fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wind up so quick. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, you got to remember, there's torque at all RPM on an electric motor like that. There's no, you know, like we try to get the right cam to get the right RPM on the gasoline engines, but when
there's
it comes
no power band that you need.
Exactly.
It's from start to go. Go to start.
Zing.
Go to finish. Which is correct. Yeah. So they're very fast.
Yes. And you know what? Honestly, I mean, because they say the first electric cars came out, and I want to say they're the late 1800s or early 1900s. The problem is they
electric
never...
Electric car.
Yeah.
Not in the 1800s.
Or the early 1900s. I was reading an article that was talking about electric actual cars. Problem is they've never known how to harness the energy. I mean, even at this point, they still have a problem where they can't get over, just like you were saying, your buddy's driving up to Oregon. They can't harness the power. They can't do it like a gasoline engine. That's why gasoline engines still are so.
Well, a gasoline engine doesn't store anything.
Well, that's my point.
But it's its own power plant.
And that's my point. It's easy to, you know what, pull over 5 minutes, you're refueled, off you go. They haven't been able to do that with, you know, make an electric car that convenient yet. So that's why we're still where we're at.
It'd be pretty cool if you could pull over and plug in for just 5 minutes and recharge the battery totally to its. Now that would be
exactly
an accomplishment right there.
But that's what I'm saying. They haven't been able to, and that's why, and I use that very loosely when I say they haven't been able to figure out how to harness the power yet. They just don't have it down yet where it's very convenient is why, you know.
No, they don't have the technology to charge that fast. I don't think so. Otherwise, they'd be using it.
Well,
because
that's
that'd
why
be
they
just a charging station.
Well,
if
that's
you could
why
charge
I said
a battery that fast, man, that would be amazing.
Well, that's why I said loosely, they just haven't been able to harness it yet. Yeah. I mean that in a broader, but they don't have it down to convenience yet. So
I don't think they have the technology. That's what it comes down to yet. Maybe somebody does somewhere. They just haven't put it in.
That's
play.
That's not being able to harness the energy. It's technology, you know, so whatever.
Correct. So that's one way to put it. So, yeah, it's difficult to make those cars extended mileage vehicles.
Well, they're not very good vacation cars. How about that?
Yeah. Well, unless your vacation's 52 miles away.
Well, the thing is most people are driving a lot more than, being the COVID thing. So a lot of people are traveling again in their cars. So
And it's not really a car you're going to be towing your trailer with or anything at this point.
Well,
maybe they
say the new F-150s, and I'm assuming the Teslas too. I haven't read up, and I need to catch up on them a little more, but they're saying that they're very good at towing. And
have you seen a picture of what the Tesla truck looks like?
No. Oh. I heard it's not the greatest looking.
I seen the Tesla Cybertruck. It's a goofy looking thing.
Yeah, the F-150, though, looks just like a normal truck.
Correct.
So,
of course.
I mean,
especially if they're going to bring it out to, you know, it's going to have to
but
have
that,
a...
That's the difference between Tesla. Tesla likes to be on their own little... You know, that's their style.
Well, their cars are functional for what they do and what they're... I mean, they're meant to be cars,
well,
right?
Yeah, but Tesla...
But a truck, we'll see what they come up with. I don't think it's going to look like that.
Tesla also likes to be that car company when it goes down the road. You know a mile away that's a Tesla. That's their personality. That's what they're...
Well, they're a defined car series.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, They're definitely the high end of the electric cars.
Yes.
I mean, although they made, like I said, the Model 3, which is a way cheaper version.
Well, you always got to have
but they didn't.
Even Mercedes comes out with a midline because, you know.
Well, they were, like I said, until they came out with that car, they were kind of the luxury end of electric cars. And they were true. The cutting edge stuff. So anyway, but pretty cars. I like their designs. I do. They come up with some good stuff. So for sure. But one of those things. Back to the whole tune-up thing. So really, even with today's cars, the gasoline cars, tune-up has really diminished to maybe a fuel filter, maybe spark plugs and an air filter. and that's the tuning of the engine.
Well,
I bet. Maybe spark plug boots or plug wires. Very few cars have distributor caps even anymore. Distributors.
I kind of put it to fuel induction service though, being like a tune-up, because it does relieve the carbon.
Reduce carbon. Yeah.
Yes.
So okay, you could add that in there.
Yeah.
But replacement of parts has been minimalized because we have no distributor cap, rotor, points, condenser. All that stuff's gone. We almost don't have spark plug wires on most cars now.
No, we're more into we replace the parts as they fail, because they last. You know,
yeah, or like we said, the only tune-up, real tune-up components left are spark plugs.
Yes.
So as far as that goes, and then along with the boots that go along with them, if you're going to replace those, so that's been minimalized, and it's been extended out on most vehicles. Although Chrysler has gone back to 30,000 miles on their 16 spark copper spark plugs on their V8s.
Well, they have to have a reason. I mean, who knows why
somebody engineered that.
Who did it? Why? And it was just a better bait. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just a better, I mean, he's an engineer, so maybe it's just a better way to burn fuel, or I don't know.
Champion spark plug stock, and that's why he wanted it. You know what? If we put 16 copper plugs in each one of these, and they have to be changed every 30,000 miles, my stock will go up.
That's the weird part. You can buy another plug. I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's Autolite out there. There's, AC Delco, Motorcraft. Yeah. Now, they all make a plug with that same thing, but if you put that in there where the Champion was, it'll run like crap.
Sometimes
it's kind of like when you remember when Bosch first came out with they're the first ones of the non copper, and they're supposed to last longer. This
platinum,
but if you put those in other cars, it didn't run very good.
Sometimes they don't run right.
No, because you got to put back in there what came out of it for the plugs to actually.
Well, you'll remember this, and a lot of people might. There was a spark plug once called a split fire. That made all these, do you remember this? Well, those plugs caused some drivability problems when you put them in cars, remember?
Yes.
They'd come in and you'd be like, what the heck? And it actually started figuring out that it was the plugs. And they also had all these ridiculous claims about better gas mileage, better performance and all.
Burn the fuel better.
They actually
better,
got knocked blah, blah. Off the market, I believe, because they got in trouble, if I remember right.
Well, they were just a company that was basically made in China, the spark plugs.
I don't know where they were made. I never did research. I just knew that we had a lot of issues along with them. The people would put them into everything because they did this big advertising campaign that they were the most amazing spark plug ever.
And for commercials.
And yeah, all kinds of stuff. And it just turned out not to be. So the one thing I can tell you about still tune-ups on your vehicles is when it comes to spark plugs replacement and like fuel filters, if there's one available, et cetera, in the boots, following manufacturer's recommendations is really the best. If it says 90,000 miles, man, make sure you get those plugs replaced at 90,000 miles. You will save yourself a lot of money in the long run. Well, coils are expensive. Not only that, you can also, not only stressing the coil, but when you're stressing the coil like that, it's working hard to make that spark to do the burn, you're not getting a complete burn. So you're doing a couple things here. You're wasting, your fuel mileage starts to go down. You're wasting fuel. You get excess raw fuel into the exhaust. You can reduce or limit the life of the catalyst because you're continually putting excess fuel in there. And not that it's going to happen today or tomorrow, but over time, that's rough on the catalyst. So its efficiency starts to drop off. And then eventually you get a check engine light. You have to replace a catalyst. You'll remember that for the rest of your life if you have to buy one of those. Because they're not cheap on most cars, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
and I put one on Christian's, my son's truck, mm-hmm. and you know what? In 3 months, well, it wasn't even 3 months. I want to say it was like a month. We checked on the price on it, and within a month, it went up like $30-$40 in price. Maybe a little more than that. I'm going to be generous on the $30. I think it went up more than that. But because of all this, the COVID stuff, parts are going up in price too.
There are some parts going up in price. There are. And there are some parts harder to get right now too. Because
I think that's why the price is going up on things, because they can do it.
Could be. Well, and there's also catalysts have precious metals in them also.
Well, not only that, obviously this is California. So the cats cost more here because they have to be certified, which costs the company money to get them certified to be in California, New York. What is it in California, New York?
California mainly.
Okay.
I don't know if it's New York or not. I think New York's supposed to be certified. I don't know if they follow all the rules. But California here for sure when we install catalysts. Otherwise, you go get your car smart. And catalysts are kind of a tricky situation because they have to be Air Resources Board approved to be aftermarket. And they have to be manufactured and certified for your specific engine family number on your vehicle. And if they don't fall into that, then your car will fail for a visual on the wrong catalyst installed. So whether you have a catalyst installed or not, was just down this road with somebody with a Cadillac a couple weeks ago. And the guy was like, that's extremely expensive. I can have it done cheaper. And I said, well, actually you can't. And I'll tell you why.
Because it's not certified.
You cannot buy it any place but Cadillac from General Motors. And that's the price of it. So no matter where you go,
see,
that's the price of it. You can't. There is nothing aftermarket. So when you say you can't, that's my point.
That's the thing.
And of course, we save you money labor wise over the dealer. So you got an option. We could do it, or you could go spend a little more money and they could do it.
that's the thing too, because if a company's not selling enough of cats for a certain car, they won't get it certified because it's not worth them spending.
The aftermarket ones you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
The OEM ones, you're always good to go. I mean, if you buy a manufacturer for, you have a Cadillac and you buy it, but we buy it from General Motors, put on the actual factory, then you don't have to worry about any certification or anything like that. But if you're buying a Catalyst aftermarket, and it doesn't end up matching your engine family number, well, that can cost you a lot of money down the road because you're going to fail smog. You're going to have to replace it again. Yes. It doesn't matter if it works and the check engine light doesn't come on. What matters is it doesn't work and the check engine light not come on, and is it certified to your vehicle?
That's going
to
say, if California says it's not certified to your vehicle, then it's no go.
It's a no go. That's right. And that will cost you a lot of money in the long run. And we see a lot of people that make that mistake, or someplace puts, that's not up to the smog laws and things like that. You cannot just put any catalyst on a vehicle. So anyway, that was the story with that. And it was just funny because you get these people sometimes, and all of a sudden, or somebody's telling them, but you know what? If we diagnose your vehicle and recommend a catalyst for your vehicle, we've done all the legwork. We've checked the Air Resources Board. We checked the aftermarket parts database, which there's such a thing, and all the certifications with the engine family number. And if there's nothing available, you have to go OEM.
Well, that's the thing. You want to do it right, too, because if you don't do it right, then...
Well, it's more money.
You're
going to spend more money.
So sometimes we do spend a lot of time in the background, making sure that we get the right part on the right car to make sure that you don't have issues later.
Exactly. There's no question. No question at all. So 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. The Garden Talk guys said the phones were quiet this morning, too. I guess the Auto Talk phones are quiet this morning, too.
It was a good night to sleep.
It was a good night to sleep. I do want to remind you, though, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other batteries at the West Automotive Group. So if you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. Get yourself an appointment and get in, and we'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts here in San Diego at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. It's a true thing. I have their batteries in my mouse, on my desk. I have their batteries in everything.
I do too.
I have their batteries in the alarms on all the stores, the little backup batteries you gotta have. So all those cool things. All their batteries, anyway. And all my motorcycles. So, good stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, as we're getting down here talking about tune-ups on vehicles, I think we've hit most of the high points on this and the important stuff, and just following your maintenance suggestions on the vehicle is the best, obviously. Keep the vehicle in good working order. Saves you time and money in the long run, right?
Yes.
And prevents costly failures on other components. Because like Kevin was saying, spark plugs, once they get past their mileage, they have a larger gap. They overstress the coils. As I was saying, unburned fuel can cause more carbon buildup, can also cause lower fuel mileage, and then also can cause catalyst issues down the road. And we were talking about catalysts, and another thing that has nothing to do with tune-ups, but I have also seen now we're back in a thing where people are stealing catalytic converters again.
Yes.
How you get underneath a Prius and cut a catalytic converter off in a parking lot, I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure they jack them up a little bit.
I have no idea.
These, a lot of these people that go out and steal these things, they're savvy people. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Put their energy towards something better than to stop stealing people's
stuff. I'm just telling you.
But anyway, if you ever start your car up and it was nice and quiet when you parked it, and it's not so quiet in the morning. Thank you for that. I needed that in my ear. I'm glad you decided to scream.
But check engine lights on.
Yeah, it would be right away.
Hey, you're mostly awake when you start your car up first thing in the morning, and all of a sudden it's like...
You start your car up like that without a catalyst on it, your neighbors are going to be awake. Like,
what the heck?
Yeah, everybody's going to be awake. So anyway, unfortunately, that's going on again now. And we get into times like this. People sometimes
we have that one
do
company
things that they shouldn't.
That we've been dealing with for a while. And they've had where they park their trucks at night. The one truck, I want to say it's been two or three times they've taken the cat off of it. They finally had to start locking the truck inside.
Yeah. And the other thing that we've also been seeing, I've seen a few times, is fuel necks getting cut and people siphoning gas out of fleet vehicles. We've seen that a few times where we have to replace.
That's true, because they really can't go down the neck anymore, can they?
No, it's hard to get past the valving in there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That what they do now is they get near the fuel tank and they cut the hose.
Uh-huh.
And then they can stick a siphon hose down inside the tank, actually, and siphon the fuel up out of there. So we're seeing more and more of that, unfortunately. So,
well, fuel's getting expensive, so, you know.
Well,
and I got to say,
everything's relative. It doesn't mean you should steal it.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying this is why. And there's a lot more people out of work again. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
I don't know. Numbers aren't so bad. I think we're trending in the right direction again. But still, at the same time, there'll always be people out doing these things.
Yes.
When it comes to vehicles. So just, you know, got it. And unfortunately, it does happen a lot of times to fleet vehicles because they're parked someplace in a yard where they're locked up, but there's not an eye on them all the time. Or even if there is cameras on them, that sometimes these people don't seem to care and do things like this. So, yeah, all I can tell you is the good news about the scrap metal thing and the catalyst thing is if they're buying those, the scrap buyer is supposed to know who they're purchasing them from and documenting it. So it makes it harder to sell those things to somebody or turn them in for scrap now.
Yeah, I heard that like when you take copper and stuff in, they want to see your driver's license.
They document it all. Cause that way if ever, you know, law enforcement is looking for somebody that like, and
stripped a
I've
house
heard of people or, that have stripped houses. Exactly.
Yeah, like people go to turn their air conditioner on and realize their air conditioner is missing on the side of their house.
That's terrible. Dude,
I know it is, but I can only see what's going on. And you go out to look and it's gone. You're like, what the?
Let's grab Al real quick. He's got a question on his Mercury Mariner. Good morning, Al.
Hey, look, I haven't run the car for 4 months, and all of a sudden I try to start it, and the battery cable's not tight.
Uh-oh.
And it's almost impossible to tighten it. I keep tightening the thing, and it just wiggles after I tighten it. But anyway, when I get it halfway tightened, it still doesn't start. It kicks over one time, and then it won't kick over anymore. And I wondered if it has anything to do with the fact that it's a hybrid and it's been sitting for 4 months.
Well,
you don't charge the car. It's supposed to charge itself.
Correct. Now, the hybrid battery actually has nothing to do with the starting of the vehicle. The regular battery, the little battery, is called the starter battery on those vehicles. But what's probably happened is 4 months is a battery goes, they go dead. So they do. What needs to happen is either replace the terminal or the battery cable that's not so great, and then put a good trickle charge on that battery. Or, you know, and it might need a battery. It may have dropped a cell in the process also.
No, I've charged the battery a few times over the months.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, yeah.
Why a trickle charge?
Because if you fast charge a battery, it deteriorates them quickly.
Oh.
They're not made for
you
that.
So you don't ever want a fast charge?
Nope. It's not the greatest.
Okay.
I mean, if you're stuck in a situation where you need to jump start a vehicle or whatever, then you got to get started. You got to get going, right? But on a regular basis, if you got time, you always want to just a good slow charge on a battery. Now, I'll be honest with you. If a battery's too dead, sometimes it won't. The little chargers won't work on them. So you actually have to get the vehicle started, get a little charge into the battery, then start trickle charging it and go from there. And it'll come up to life. But if they do drop a cell, and if you do that too many times and let a battery deplete too many times, they do they tend to fail.
Okay. I towed the car to a garage down the street.
Okay.
And he told me that the battery cable was bad, needed to be replaced, and he told me it needs a starter. And that's where I figured he was BSing me, and I got the car towed out of there because the starter couldn't possibly go bad from sitting for 4 months. So what he's telling me is it's got a bad battery cable. And if he just fixes a starter, it isn't going to fix the problem. So
Al?
A battery cable and a starter, then he's fixed the problem, but it never needed a starter.
Yeah, my suggestion would be, and I don't know how he'd know it needed a starter with a bad battery cable, need to fix that first and get a good charge on the battery and then check the whole system out. I agree with you. I don't think it's difficult to diagnose a bad starter when you have a bad battery cable. So replace the cable, get the battery charged up, and then test the system, and then we'll know. I mean, you could have contacts fail on a starter anytime, but I'm not saying that happened. You need to start with the steps of the battery cable and good charged battery. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thanks.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. All right, folks.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate everybody joining us. Appreciate Al's call there at the end. We're here to help you any way we can. You can check us out at westautomotivegroup.com anytime during the week. Otherwise, we will be back here next Saturday, as always, right? You need to keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up as we go, right, Kevin? Any last words of wisdom? Go out and buy a Tesla. Buy an F1.
I do not have to do more research on them because I haven't done much research.
Kevin says buy an F-150 because then you can electric and you can run all your power tools off of it.
And then the car be dead and you can't drive it home.
Kevin finds that extremely funny for some reason.
I do. I'm like.
I wonder if AAA and them are going to come out with special trucks that can jumpstart electric vehicle.
Well, I wonder if it has if you're running all that stuff off there, I wonder if it has something that goes, hey, you're running out of power.
We'll have to find out. All right. San Diego and everybody else out there, be safe. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Until next week, this has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. We'll catch you next week.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.